It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are with us here today for Let's Talk Legal. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Okay, what's up for today? What are we talking about?
Ben, let's talk about capacity, the ability, the legal capacity to execute a last will and testament.
Mm-hmm.
And really, as far as that's concerned, really the capacity to execute, one might say, any document, a durable power of attorney, which is such a critical document, a deed.
Sure.
Anytime that someone is confronted with a legal document.
Entering into a contract.
That has significant consequences. Mm-hmm. What kind of legal capacity does the law require?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through some very technical elements here in a moment. But, you know, we lawyers are confronted with this issue very often. We, of course, prefer, Ben, for everyone to come on in our office,
sure,
you know, before they are either elderly or before a disease process has occurred. You know, gracious sakes, before they're on their deathbed in a hospital or
right.
out at the hospice. And yet we are called upon all too frequently to visit these hospital beds, to visit into the home because the loved one is simply not able to ambulate.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an issue that we lawyers are have a heightened awareness about. And we are very careful, very meticulous in the way we document files where there's a potential for an allegation of incapacity.
Right, right.
So let's go a little bit deeper here and see what some of the elements of legal capacity happen to be.
Okay. What constitutes that?
Right. So normally what we look at when we're talking about whether a person has the capacity to enter a will, several elements. One of them is the nature and consequences of executing the will. Do they have an understanding with regard to that? And, you know, as an attorney dealing with this situation quite often, you know, you want to have a discussion with the client about what they're doing, what they're signing, what the effect of it is. Don't spoon feed too much to them about it. Obviously, they need to give you some feedback as it relates to, you know, what is this document? It's a will. What does it do? And they, you know, give feedback with regard to that. Who does it appoint as your executor? You know, these type things. And in the event that your client or potential client in this situation may is in a situation where they can't really respond or they don't understand it, and that's a huge red flag. And a lot of times, you know, if we get to that point and we have a client who's not able to answer those basic questions about what this document is and how it operates, then in many cases, Cecil and I will then turn to the family and say, you know, we need a medical opinion here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to involve the doctor. We need to have an evaluation done so that we have someone look into this further. And certainly in certain circumstances, people do sometimes recover from whatever they're under.
Sure.
You know? So, and there are in very rare situations, lucid intervals where individuals may get, you know, recover from whatever they're dealing with. But that's pretty much issue number one that we look at. You know, wills to us lawyers are, you know, relatively simple documents in most situations.
Mm-hmm.
They can become complex, but the person has to have the requisite mental capacity to understand the effect of the document that they're signing. It's pretty basic, but you know, someone in their last days or, you know, with dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, they might not be able to understand that.
Or their medications just may prevent them from happening.
Could be an issue with the medications, and it could be a situation where the medical providers, after we consult with the providers, indicate, well, we're going to regulate these medications and see if there's an improvement, and then we'll communicate with mm-hmm. regard to that.
Right.
Now, of course, we're going to document our file. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have notes and records in our file with regard to these issues. When we go meet with someone who's questionable, you know, we're going to note the fact that we had this discussion. We're going to have witnesses there, obviously, we'll know their names, and mm-hmm. they'll be able to testify if needed at some point in time with regard to the conversation that took place regarding the document. All important things, you know, and that's one of the reasons why you have an attorney going through the process, mm-hmm. because the attorney knows the elements that we have to meet and knows how to gather the information to make a determination as to whether, you know, the person has that requisite mental capacity.
Because, Cecil, I guess, because you, what you want to avoid is a fight later saying that they did not have the capacity.
Well, you absolutely do. And to go a little bit further here, Wes and I or just looked at some elements. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to put a little levity into the program this morning. Objects of your bounty.
Right, right.
That's the old English mm-hmm. phrase. One must know who their relatives are. Mm-hmm. Who is your family? Mm-hmm. The nature and extent of your family, and the nature and extent, if you will, of your property. You do not have to know the latest balance in your, quote, IRA and what stocks happen to compose your IRA mm-hmm. at, you know, Merrill Lynch. You don't have to have that kind of detail to have capacity. What you have to know to have capacity is that you have an account mm-hmm. and that it has an estimated value of as follows, things mm-hmm. of that nature. The law recognizes that sometimes there are, as Wes mentioned, there are these moments or intervals of incapacity. Mm-hmm. There are moments of capacity. There are times when one does have some diminished thoughts mm-hmm. And comprehension of their assets. But you generally need to know the nature and extent of your property. And you need to know who your family happens to be. These would be threshold questions that any good lawyer is going to ask and document in their file.
Right.
Given certain circumstances. You know, we have so many of these files, but I know very specific examples. Our listeners like to hear that. Mm-hmm. Wes and I hear those comments all the time from our listeners. Wes and I are called upon to go to the hospital. This happens very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, already we know we are going to a hospital, Ben. We mm-hmm. already know that this person is
in distress.
Suffering.
Yes.
Correct. Emotionally, mm-hmm. spiritually, medically.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are aware as we walk into the halls of that hospital that we are going to be confronting a person who potentially might have a diminished capacity. And so questions such as, tell me about your family.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your property. Tell me, you know, what your prior will, if you remember, happened to say. What have you done in the past? What is your family history?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you been married?
Right.
And did you have children in the first marriage or the children in the second marriage?
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of questions that you would want to ask and explore in as much of detail as you can with your with the client.
A particular case comes to mind, Ben, as Cecil talks about that I'm familiar with, where there was an allegation that the person who signed the will did not have capacity. The person is now deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And just the allegation is, you know, she was in a position where she just didn't understand anything. She was way too far gone. That's why she left me out of the will. That's
right.
Why she da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we look into the case, And we see that the attorney's notes for meeting with her indicated the full name of every one of her children, the full name of her deceased husband, the day he died, the day they were married. Each account she had with almost exact amounts for each account.
Right.
Every property that she had that was titled, like vehicle titles, every piece of real property, all this incredible detail that all came from the person who signed the will, and there's nowhere else where it could have come from.
Right.
And it was taken down by, appropriately by the attorney on the day that the document was executed. Great evidence. I mean, someone who's going to be able to provide that type and that level of information to you
clearly in capacity,
clearly has the capacity to be able to, you know, enter the will.
All right.
So those are the kind of things that we want to collect, you know, when we go meet with those who may be questionable or, you know, anyone executing a will.
More to come in a moment here on Let's Talk Legal. If you would like to join us, 800-818-2255 or the local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
And always, you can go online to find out more at harvellandcollins.com. Welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning with our friends from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. And we're talking about capacity. I was asking during the break, how old do you have to be to execute a will?
So, yeah, 18.
18.
So I guess that, that indicates our 17-year-olds are just not quite there yet. Maybe a lot of 18-year-olds aren't either. So yeah, just to break this down, of course, it's really just three things that we're looking for. Obviously, the person needs to understand the nature and consequences of executing the document, the will, nature and extent of their property. Basically need to understand what they have. You don't have to understand what you have to a penny, to the, down to the penny. Most people don't anyway, but you need to be able to understand, you know, what real property you own and basically what money you may have in the bank or what generally what stocks or where they are. Do you own a car? You know, those type things, just to have that kind of capacity. And then you need to understand who the natural objects of your bounty are, which is that kind of confusing statement, that phrase, which really means you just need to understand who your family or loved ones want. That's those
potential heirs.
Those are the, natural objects. I mean, that's who you would normally leave your estate to. And, you know, you need to be able to understand who they are. It's obviously good if you're able to name, you know, who you're, who those natural objects are. I don't mean every niece and nephew and cousin and so on and so forth, but obviously your spouse and your children really is what, you know, that falls into as far as the, that category.
Yeah, you may not be able to remember how old they all are.
Right.
Because I don't remember that.
Yeah. That's right.
Half the time.
Right. So, you know, both Cecil and I have been in situations multiple times over the years. You know, I've been doing this 17 years and Cecil was – pretty far ahead of me, so he's got 20-some years under his belt, maybe 30. And we have certainly been in multiple situations over the years where we, you know, go to the home or go to the nursing home or go to the hospital and meet the family and then go meet with the potential executor, the the testator of the document, and just have to make the determination that the person doesn't have the capacity. Now, we'll revisit, you know, in the event that there's a report that there's an improvement, so on and so forth. You know, we've had situations over the years where, you know, maybe a patient is in the hospital and we're in direct communications with the doctor about, is this a good day? Is this a bad day? Is there improvement? You know, what do we expect? Is this something where we're going to have a lineal decline here?
Right.
Or is this something where we're, we'll expect, you know, some improvement at some point in time? And, you know, we've been, you know, kind of sitting on go. But the better plan is to get this done,
ahead of time.
You know, and make sure that you get your affairs in order when you have the full capacity and can think about it and make decisions based on good counsel with your attorney and your family and those type things.
Don't make the assumption that things are going to be all right tomorrow. Because, you know, things can change very, very rapidly.
Ben, I would say that this is one of the areas of the law, this little cubby hole that we're in this morning discussing, where just all the circumstances,
mm-hmm.
all the facts, circumstances, conditions need to be looked at and considered. And any one little item can alter the way that a good lawyer will approach the situation. For instance, is this person making some dramatic change mm-hmm. in their plan?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have three children, and forever and ever they tell you that they've had things a third, but now for some reason they're leaving everything to they're leaving out their children
right.
and leaving out two of the children and leaving it just to one.
Mm-hmm.
What is their recognition of who you happen to be? Last week I went into the hospital room and I know this family for years and years and years. And the minute I get there, and the man, by the way, now has died,
mm-hmm.
a sweet fellow, close family friend. And I walk in the room and he says, "Oh, Cecil, thank you so much for coming." Now, immediately that let me know that this gentleman, this guy, recognized who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that I was there to get his will signed. He did not have a will. But there was some circumstances that needed to be documented. Well, see, those are the kinds of things that I need to have in the basket in order to feel comfortable as a lawyer about the fact that I am having someone sign a will within possibly days of mm-hmm. their death due to, of course, this was due to cancer. But notwithstanding his terminal condition, he was able to recognize who I was. He knew why I had come into the room.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that I was coming to get a will signed.
Right.
He certainly knew who his family was and what the circumstances were and what property he owned.
So he met all those criteria.
He did.
No
he
problem.
Absolutely
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a breath of fresh air when mm-hmm. you as a lawyer have those kinds of things, you know, that kind of wind at your back in a file versus walking in and them not being able to speak to you.
Yes.
Or being extraordinarily confused.
Mm-hmm.
Those are problems when mm-hmm. those files come your way.
You know, another case comes to mind for me, and we get this question all the time. You know, what if I've met with you, Mr. Attorney, and I've told you what you wanted and you've started working on the document? Is it good then? No, it's not good until it's executed. Signed,
right.
sealed, and delivered, so
right.
to speak. So a couple of years ago, I met with an individual that I knew well. I had known him and met with him several times over multiple legal issues, and he came in for the purposes of, making some plans with regard mm-hmm. to his will, actually a trust for his daughter, you know, a lot of things. He's from New Bern, and we got all the notes together, and we started working on the file, and he paid us to get mm-hmm. the work done. And on the way home to New Bern, he has a stroke and gets in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up in the hospital in Craven County. So about
incapacitated.
Incapacitated. And the report that I'm getting from the family is that he had improved about a week later. So I go to meet with him, take with me my two witnesses from my office and a notary. So I have, you know, obviously everybody that we need there. And entered the room, spoke with him. He was able to communicate,
mm-hmm.
but not coherently.
Wow.
He didn't understand. Wow. So here we were with the document prepared, with all of my notes from exactly what he wanted when mm-hmm. he was just as clear as he can be and came to meet with me in my office in Moorhead City. But the event took place when he was driving home to New Bern, where he had a stroke and a car accident. And he was never able to recover from that.
That's terrible.
Yep.
It's Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. More to come with Let's Talk Legal and Harvell and Collins right after this. Welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. The upshot of what we've been talking about here then, Cecil, is it's best if you come in early, right?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, Ben, these circumstances confront themselves. I mean, confront us routinely. And mm-hmm. I might add, I mean, we're talking today about the folks who have not come in or who are making a change that is very, very important to them, but at the last moment for some reason, or at a time later on in their life, even if they don't have a terminal illness, they just are older and they want to make a change. These are important files where I might add you listeners need to contact, an experienced lawyer. I mean, I just have to say mm-hmm. that.
Right.
It's worth its weight in gold on a file like this, that you really do want lawyers who have had experience under these kinds of circumstances
mm-hmm.
because the documentation in these files, is critical. And one little factor and the way in which the file is handled,
mm-hmm.
is very, very important. We mentioned earlier in the program letters from doctors, possibly having the family member who has the HIPAA release or healthcare power of attorney obtaining some medical records that we can look at. So that again, we can determine whether, the capacity issue is there, because absolutely you're right
mm-hmm.
that if we're not careful, we're going to set up a lawsuit,
right.
Relative to this person's capacity, and particularly when they're making a material change,
mm-hmm.
you see, that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
If they've just got a wife and three children and they're leaving everything to their wife and then to their three children, there's not probably a whole lot to argue about. We still need capacity,
mm-hmm.
but those facts are not going to be quite as critical as someone who's making some sort of, you know, has children from a prior marriage.
Exactly.
Circumstances such as that.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's another side to this here. I know we just have a couple of minutes to go, but there's another side of this that attorneys have to be concerned with, which is the rules of professional conduct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, us attorneys, we have rules that we have to deal with as it relates to dealing with all aspects of the practice, whether it be, you know, with communicating with someone who's represented by another attorney, communicating
mm-hmm.
with someone who doesn't have an attorney, dealing with clients' assets, money, those type things. One of the areas that we have to deal with, obviously, is that when we're executing documents such as power of attorney, will, those type of things, we ethically can't take direction, for example, from a family member and then send that document out with the family member for execution and for it to come back.
Right.
Like, for example, a power of attorney. A mm-hmm. power of attorney naming someone to make financial decisions for this person. We actually have to have communications with the person. We
mm-hmm.
have to communicate with that person to make a determination as to whether that's what they want, whether they have the capacity, you know, these type of issues. And that's an ethical rule that we obviously follow very closely.
Well, it certainly makes
that's
sense.
Important.
Yeah.
It's very important because, I mean, you're kind of giving someone a ticket to be able to go take your things.
Right, right.
You know, and there needs to be a stopgap and a level of protection there, and that's the attorney plays that part.
And if you want to find out more, you want to take care of your matters as well, you want to get the right advice at the right time from the folks at Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, you can call them at 726-9050 and make an appointment at 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City.